Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced, and welcome to what may be the last episode of my tech podcast for the year. We will find out, but I want to do is just kind of talk about lots of things in the areas that I spend a lot of time thinking about, which are like data lakehouses, agentic AI, just generally like tech stuff in general, and just sort of what an amazing year it has been. Like this, the AI train has certainly exceeded all my expectations as far as what we are capable of in this moment. And I'm going to talk about some of the tools that I personally have been using quite a bit and have been quite powerful for me. First, I'm just going to kind of gush a little bit about sort of a lot of stuff that Google's been putting out. Particularly Google Anti-Gravity. Google Anti-Gravity is sort of their IDE, so their version of sort of like Cursor. So if you use Cursor or Comet or everybody else's attempt at this thing, you get the idea. What's nice is one that is using... One, you get, if you're a Google Pro user, you get really a fairly, I think, generous amount of rate limiting on using Gemini and Claude within Anti-Gravity. So basically it's, you know, you don't have to pay anything extra. You already have it from your Google Pro account. And it works really well. I've built several things since I've gotten using Anti-Gravity, using more sort of robust AI assisted coding. Like I've used AI in coding before, things like GitHub Copilot, where it would, you know, do tab autocompletes, things like that. But I was still having to do most of the coding, most of thinking through the logic, researching the libraries, all these kinds of things. And with Anti-Gravity, I definitely got to really experience what people will refer to as like spec-driven development for like the first time, where basically I'm less focusing on sort of the actual code more than on the specification, the architecture of what I want to build. And this has been a sort of a transformational experience. So first, I built a couple Python libraries, Dremio Frame and IceFrame. So these are like iceberg libraries. So Dremio Frame is a library specifically more towards using Dremio and gives you a really strong, and then because I have access to my own Dremio instance, I was able to like really thoroughly test it. So it works pretty well. And I was able to pretty much add like a laundry list of features that I've wanted for the longest time in there. So you can basically use Dremio to do all sorts of cool stuff using Python that you weren't able to do before. Like you could upload files before, but now you can upload a larger variety of files and get it into like an iceberg table. Or just do a lot of really cool stuff with Dremio that you could do in Dremio, but if you're someone who likes using Python, it makes it much more Pythonic to use Dremio. Then IceFrame is a library where it's more of a wrapper around PyIceberg, but basically one, it makes a lot of the things that you would have to kind of do in multiple steps with PyIceberg much more simpler, with much more simpler like methods that kind of just take care of those steps because it automatically bundles in there things like polars for handling some of the processing and other things where needed. And both libraries have a laundry list of optional dependencies depending on which features you would like to use because they have a lot of features. I kind of went a little nuts. And, but yeah, basically you can connect to your Iceberg catalog using, IceFrame, have sort of a data frame like API if you want, you have all sorts of ingestion tools and all that would work off your own local laptop's compute. So it allows you to do like a, and also cool thing is like there's certain, like not every sort of maintenance procedure is implemented in PyIceberg yet and whatnot. So for things that were like missing, I actually just was able to implement them using, Anti-Gravity and test to make sure that they worked, whatnot. That was really impressive. Okay, really, really, really impressive. Just amazing, like, how much functionality I was able to build and test. Now, of course, again, there is sort of, like, there is a still a level of sort of, like, you have to have, like, a data engineering leads mindset and know the topic of what you're building enough to ask questions. Like, and it says, like, it's like, does it work this way? Or did you test for this? Or how did you test for this? And if you tested it that way, did you plan for X, Y, and Z scenario? So like you still need to have a good body of knowledge about what you're building to build it. So then I went even a step further and I actually built a whole Iceberg catalog called Pangolin, which you can go see at pangolincatalog.com or pangolincatalog.org. And essentially it's a catalog that has all the features I've been wanting sort of in one catalog. I love Nessie. I love Polaris. So I've always wanted to see kind of both sets of features sort of in one catalog. And that's what I did. Now, again, Would I use this for your production catalog? No. Why? Because it's a catalog built just by me. It has all the features, and I've really gone out of my way to test a lot of these features and try to make them all sort of there, provide a CLI, a UI, the whole megillah. But again, you know, when you take a look at something like an Apache Polaris, where you have really strong engineering teams from Snowflake and Dremio working like full-time on it and really sitting there vetting every API's design and feature to make sure that it's like robust, probably I would build my production system on that. But Pangolin is there if you want to play with it. It's built in Rust. And one of the things I really liked about doing sort of this AI assisted coding in Rust is, if you've ever done programming in Rust before, I have done some programming in Rust before, it has really good errors because Rust is a very, very strongly typed language. So that means, like, when you make mistakes, it knows exactly what mistake you made, which makes it really easy to make mistakes, but also, again, you get better errors. And when it's the AI who has to, like, fix these errors, it's able to do so much easier because it has, like, these robust types that can really help it pinpoint exactly what it needs to do and where it needs to do it. So it made it really quick to kind of just kind of iterate and get to, and, you know, basically having sort of, again, real strong specifications and then having a real dialogue each step of the way. Like, not just, hey, implement it, test it, and then hope that it tested it significantly. Being real, like, prescriptive, like, hey, these are the kind of tests I want. Here's how I want you to live test things. After you live test things, build regression tests. Make sure you're constantly running the full test suite after any large changes. Being very specific about which APIs you don't want broken, what can be broken, what can change, what code is locked. You know, being, you have to be, you have to kind of, again, if you're not someone who's written code or been around software engineering, it can be hard. I can see why vibe coding would still be very difficult, because there's just a lot of these sort of questions, these collaborative questions you would still need to be able to know to ask that you wouldn't know to ask unless you've done some of this stuff yourself or really know what you're building in depth. Even if you don't need to know, like, the actual programming language. Like, I know Rust, but I wouldn't say I know Rust well enough that I would have been able to do this myself. And even if I did know Rust really well, probably what I've built in Pangolin would have taken me like 2 or 3 years to get to the same level of, you know, features, documentation. And that's also the other thing. Like, I was able to keep everything well documented, which has also been really, really powerful. So overall, it's been pretty amazing to have like this really well documented, lots of tests, piece of code. So pangolincatalog.com. I'm about wrapping up release 0.2.0. There's a few more things I want to test. That's just going to have everything kind of working in much more nice order. But yeah, so anti-gravity has been sort of a revelation as far as like using tools. The other big one has been Notebook LM. Okay, now Notebook LM in the past was basically a study tool. So you'd connect different sources of information you'd have, and you'd be able to generate like a podcast on it so that way you can have people talk about the thing you want to learn versus you having to read it. Or you could generate a report. You know, basically, it break down the information from very particular sources to make it easier for you to consume for learning purposes. Now it's a full-blown content tool. It's added two really, really chef kisses features. One, the ability to create slides. So you can put in those specific sources and it generates really quality slide decks based on the information you provide it. And then two, the ability to generate infographics. And they're very, and then Gemini 3's image generating capabilities have really, really gotten better. Okay. You know, it's becoming, I had ChatGPT was my daily driver for image generation for like the last year or so. And I'm definitely shifting more and more towards Google at this point. I'm still using like ChatGPT as my general LLM of choice for like normal things. But I'm starting to see myself using Google more. The quality has gotten that much better. And for video generation, I'm starting to use Google more, especially now that Sora has kind of shut down the ability to download videos. It makes it a lot less useful because I don't use Sora for fun. I use Sora to create like assets that help me in what I do. Like little mini Dremio ads, which was a lot of fun, but not as useful anymore if I can't download and share the videos on like a TikTok or something. So Sora can still be fun, but again, if I can't use the videos elsewhere, it's kind of unnecessary to me. Now I get it. A lot of people made a lot of BS and tried to pass like AI videos as real. While like the videos I was generating, like little cartoon ads, were clearly like not real. But you know, you have to leave it to other people to kind of ruin it for everybody else. The other really cool thing that I've noticed is also just for like Google Presentations has added a beautify slide button. So basically, if you're generating like slides, now you can just focus on content, and then you can just click the beautify slide button, and it just makes the slide look good. Essentially, you uses the same process as you would if you're using the generate slide in Notebook LM, but it does it based on the content you've put on the slide, and it uses like the slide theme of your slide deck. So if you're using like a corporate themed slide deck, it'll actually like stick to that theme. It's actually really, really cool. So those were some of the like AI tools that really like made a difference this year. Now there's certain ones I've already been using, things like Suno to generate music. I usually use it to generate like instrumental, like corporate music for the backs of some of my videos that I'll do. Or you know, just as general like audio beds, not like other people where they're trying to generate like fake albums by fake artists. I mean, I'll generate some fake songs here and there for my own amusement, for my own enjoyment, but generally I'm not going to make those public. Cool. The other cool tool, and then I mean, the other thing I've been excited about is like Dremio's AI tools. Like for example, like I do use Dremio as a Dremio employee. It's not just like trying to help other people to use Dremio, but using Dremio in my day-to-day work. Oftentimes it's if I just need to run some SQL and stuff, I'll just sometimes just put it into a file, a CSV file, upload to the Dremio and run the SQL there because it's just a better environment to run SQL in. But now with like a lot of the AI tools in Dremio, you now have the built-in AI agent. You don't even have to really do that a lot of that anymore. You can just type a natural language query, and Dremio is actually really good at kind of figuring that out. You can actually generate a visualization directly through the chatbot. These are all really nice things. Like one of my favorite AI pieces here is the ability to like, hey, I have a query that maybe they didn't run as fast as I would have liked. I can go to the jobs page. There's a explain job button that'll actually use the AI to crunch all the details about how the job was run. That usually, you know, you'd spend like an hour reading this like visual of how of all the different operations that a job went through and have to study all the stats and whatnot to kind of figure out, hey, where's the bottleneck? Within a few seconds, you have this report that says, okay, hey, here's where the bottleneck is. Here's what you can do to avoid that bottleneck. And how to optimize for it, and you're good. You know, like these, it's amazing how far AI has come in making life a lot easier. And just expanding sort of like the amount of stuff you can do. Okay. So it's been an amazing year. I can only imagine that 2026 is just gonna accelerate that. 'Cause honestly, like the amount of AI tools popping out every day is just growing exponentially. What you can do with them is growing really, really fast. Like again, I'm building applications, videos, you know, all very, very quickly. So it's like it is interesting to see sort of how far we've come. And it does make me think a lot about what does the future look like. I can see, you know, basically when like a big question people have is like, what about work? What are like, hey, am I gonna get fired because of AI? I don't even think AI is going to replace you, but if you don't learn how to use AI, you will be replaced by a human who does know how to leverage AI. I do confidently believe in that because the tools make you so productive. Why wouldn't you want to have somebody on your team who's leveraging that extra level of productivity? But it does requ but just like anything else, it does require you to take the time to want to learn. It's a lot faster to learn, okay? Like a lot of these things are just much more attainable than they ever was. But people's attention spans are also much shorter than they ever were. So a lot of the people who, hey, would be like, I don't want to learn coding. Oh, I don't want to learn how to use Excel. I don't want to learn. They're still going to be the same way about AI tools half the time, okay? Other than maybe typing a few prompts in ChatGPT, going far beyond that is still going to be more work than they would like. Okay, which still means that anybody who just likes to learn how to use the tools and learn and is embraces using the tools to be productive are still going to have a leg up, okay, and are still going to be fine. There's still going to be a place for you because you use the tools and you constantly invest in yourself to be productive, okay, and the tools are there, okay. You're doing data analytics, you can use a tool like Dremio. You're using you're just, you know, trying to like learn a topic really fast, use Notebook LM. You're building some software, use Google's anti-gravity. Like all these tools just make you a lot more productive, move a lot faster, make you sort of like an army of one. And at the end of the day, there's still the networking aspect side, the human side of things. So again, those who go out there and the time that you get freed up from all the productivity that these other tools make you, if you can use that time to build your human connections, to build your network, to build your brand, that's also going to serve you really well. Again, a strong brand and high productivity basically is the way you win. Okay, people need to know who you are and have a clear idea of what the value you bring, and you have to be able to bring that value. If you can do those, if you can say those two things confidently, opportunities are not lacking. I can speak from personal experience that if you focus on building your brand and being productive, opportunities are never lacking. Okay, if anything, they're always growing. It's just at the end of the day, the thing that is the killer more than ever is complacency. Things are moving so fast, the ability to be productive, the marginal cost to be productive is getting lower and lower every day. Okay, so if you don't jump over that shrinking fence, like that fence is lower to hop over than ever, and if you still choose not to hop over it and learn how to sort of improve your skills and be more productive, well, then you're going to fall behind faster. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to, do you want to jump over that fence? Will you embrace the tools that are there and be able to do more? Okay? If you choose to do more, you will get more and you will survive perfectly in this new world. But if you choose not to, you say, hey, the old ways are good enough for me, and expect to survive in a world where everyone is going to be 20 times more productive than you, because you choose not to embrace that world, well, you're going to find life to be very difficult. And that's not changing. That's the reality. That's the world we live in. That's the future that's coming, and it's coming faster than anyone expected. So there's a lot of reason to be optimistic. There's a lot of reason to be excited if you choose to jump over the fence that's become easier to jump over than ever, okay? Because of all these extremes in productivity, there's going to be many more startups than ever. There's going to be many more people being able to start their own things, companies trying to grow faster, which means there's going to be many more roles that people will need to hire for, but they're going to want to hire people who can leverage the tools to be productive. So that's my advice for anyone who's like worried about the job market piece of the story. Okay, having the fundamental skills, having your fundamentals still matters, but those fundamentals, the way they're applied is more in how you now work with a lot of these new tools, how you work with AI-assisted tooling to get results. Because again, the better your fundamental knowledge is, your better your understanding of the base concepts and whatnot will allow you to be able to ask the right questions. It's all about being a better question asker and a better direction giver, and having a clearer vision of what you're doing and being able to communicate that vision versus being like, I have a very specific thing I need to do over and over again 1,000 times in a very specific way. I'll be the one who does that. Nowadays, no. The repetitive work is off your plate. Now everyone has to become a visionary. And that's totally doable. You just have to embrace it. But yeah, so that's sort of like my message going into this new year, 2026, of how to thrive technologically in this year. But also, of course, I do want to remind you, if you are doing like large scale data analytics, do try Dremio and try the Dremio 30-day free trial. It is pretty cool. There's a lot of cool features, and there's a lot more cool features coming. Lots of stuff to be really excited about. But yeah. I think that's really all I have to say. It's all really, really exciting. Again, just follow me on LinkedIn if you don't already, or on Twitter, or on any social network, really. Just head over to alexmerced.com to find all the links. Have a great day and enjoy, and I'll see y'all in the next year.